sunshine, little Uber, deliver, deliver.
Good evening. Welcome to As the Worm Turns. This is KVNF's Gardening Show. I'm your host, Jill, and I'm here with two really dirty worms. It's Lou and Lance. Good evening.
Good evening.
How are you? Everybody.
You got your gardening outfits on tonight, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, I was really glad it was radio. I looked at myself in the mirror as I was going out of the kitchen, and I went, oh, that's bad.
She's got her tool belt on, and yeah. She looks like she's been out there working.
I am dirty.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And Lance is just, the cracks in your hand are just black.
Yeah Lance.
They're beautiful, too.
I know. Someone would read your palm. It'd be awesome.
Oh, let me see. Yeah.
You have a long, long life full of abundance and
right?
health. Yes.
Oh, God.
And abundance is the name of the game. And why don't you give us a call and tell us what's going on in your garden?
Yeah, that'd be great.
What's worked well? Because we are harvesting. So 527-4868 or 1-866-KVNF now. And harvesting, what is going on?
Harvesting?
We are down to the last.
Well, I'm still doing raspberries. I still have one vine with grapevines. The corn, the Mandenbright corn, harvested.
Oh, let's talk about that corn because I had the opportunity to see some of that corn. Just gorgeous. Fat, I mean big, and some of the most amazing color I've ever seen.
Mandenbright.
Mandenbride.
Bride.
Mandenbride.
The Mandens were married to their corn.
Okay. What's it? Manden being, is that an Indian?
Indian tribe
from
Upper Missouri.
Yeah.
Sure. They were like the first Indians to meet Lewis and Clark or something
right.
like
Lewis
that.
Right. Lewis and Clark hung out with them for a winter and survived because they got there.
Right. Good Indians.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I call it from being a kid is Indian corn.
Yeah.
And I love it every year.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, that's the corn I measured that got 9 feet tall.
Oh, my word.
And,
yeah.
And some of those ears I did were over 12 inches. I've not seen it that big. That's
good
the first
year for
time.
It.
It was very good.
Mm-hmm. And you had some help harvesting that.
Oh, I had
young
kids. And they had a grand time. A couple of 13-year-olds and a 10-year-old girl came down from Gunnison.
Yeah.
You can keep them occupied for a little bit. They get a little distracted after.
Sure.
But once, and then we got about 2 wheelbarrows worth of ears. And after dinner, we sat on the floor and husked those and all the different colors. And when you first opened it, it is so bright and shiny.
Oh, how fun is that?
I love that. And then, so what's the eating potential for this corn?
Well, I make polenta, cornmeal.
And so you get a multicolored polenta?
It's a lavender color.
Oh, awesome.
I'm in.
That is great.
That is fabulous.
Uh-huh. And it is a flour corn, so I actually toast this. So it's a softer corn. It's not a flint.
Okay.
Yeah, there's flints, there's dents. Flints are from the northwest. Dents are from the southeast. And that's the standard corn, the dents are.
Okay.
Because it's so disease resistant. And that's the one they've done most of the work with the GMO.
Right.
So, and it is, it's like a flint, but it has a dent on the top of the kernel.
Sure. Now that you mentioned that, I've seen that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The flower corns are from the southwest, or, this is the upper Missouri.
Sure, Missouri, man.
And then you have, of course, you have popcorn and you have sweet corn. And sweet corn's the newest of the varieties that got developed. And the Indians just took regular field corn and got it in the milk stage and roasted it.
Nice. And that color is all natural?
All natural.
Yeah.
And, and then they had specific varieties that were red. They have blue. They have white. They have yellow. And this is mixed.
And gorgeous.
And they have, if you look, they have starburst in some of them. They're multicolored right in the kernel.
Oh, boy. I'm thinking dinner party
so
with
cool.
some fabulous polenta.
Right?
Uh-huh.
I always like, Mike Heaton grows some really great corn, and it's real hard, but it's real colorful
that. Yeah, that's probably a flint.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then so you have to, soak it and then cook it for a long
time. Uh-huh.
But, man, it's got great flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually toast mine and then let it cool
do you
down.
Toast it?
Toasted corn.
Yeah,
I
know.
I toast it in the cast iron skillet on the oven at low heat while I'm in the kitchen and I stir it. And I can tell when it's ready because it starts to smell like corn, toasted corn.
Uh-huh.
That's how I can tell.
So you just take the kernels off the cob fry them up.
And just make sure you stir it so it doesn't overheat or burn.
That's so cool.
That's really cool.
That's really easy. And then how long does it keep or anything? Like, what I mean?
I only grind or make 5 cups of grain at a time. That's what I pour into a jar. So I have 5-gallon buckets of this grain that's stored in sealed buckets, and that will store for years.
Oh, just wow. And so when you say grain, you mean just the kernels?
Just the kernels.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're not dried out or anything?
Oh, they're completely dried out.
So there
and
you
so
have
you
it.
Store it, and then do you rotate that? So you take the oldest corn each year, or how do you use that up? What's
well,
your plan on that?
I have 4 types of corn I'm growing on a regular basis. So every fourth year, I'm growing one of those varieties.
Gotcha.
And I'm doing popcorn, I'm doing the yellow flint, and I'm doing the Mandan Bride, a blue corn, and a Hopi pink.
Ooh, wow, nice.
Yeah.
Has the Hopi pink come on yet? Is that?
If you want to see some,
that?
I can bring some.
Oh, that I can't imagine that. That's, you know, you go through all these cornfields in this valley, and you're heading down to Montrose, and it's just this one corn, and here you've got this fabulous, colorful organic varieties of corn growing up there. It's
right.
Wonderful.
That's so important.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to have the biodiversity? When you put, it's the same old thing. You put all your eggs in one basket, sooner or later.
You're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's the benefit of seed saving, too, mm-hmm. It helps to keep that diversity going.
Yeah. So thinking of that, I went through the next morning before everybody was up, and I actually took the time and I set aside over 60 ears of corn for seed. And I hang on my corn. And so if you came in my house, on both sides of the big windows on the south, there's these, what are chili ristas?
Oh, yeah.
Only it's corn.
Right.
Only it's corn.
So do nice. you just peel the husks back?
I peel the husks back. I leave the husk on because I need something to tie onto.
Yeah.
And I tie
up. So you peel the husk back and you tie up the husks. Mm-hmm. And so you got all these husks and then the corn's hanging.
And
that must look great.
Yeah, it must look fabulous.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't this a great time of year and the colors just.
Oh, God,
yeah.
I love it.
When I'm thinking of that corn hanging and chilies hanging and the colors are great right now.
I know. Something that really interests me is how people preserved their food in the old times.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yes.
I mean, really, think about it. You know, think about what we eat every day and think about if you were living in a teepee.
Right. Well, you kind of have that going on, Lance, some of your techniques. I mean, your storage for your crops over the winter, how you layer that pit kind of thing.
Yeah. There's that, you know. And then in, you know, colonial days, those guys, they did all kinds of ingenious things. They strung their pumpkin. They would get a pumpkin or their squash, and they would cut it into cubes, and they would string it and hang it from the rafters
or dry it.
Yeah.
They would dry it. Yeah,
dry
I've heard
it
of that.
And string it.
And green beans. They would
and
dry
And green beans. Yeah.
I mean, great. Great.
You
yeah.
know, you still
I think the term for green beans was leather britches.
Oh, really?
You know, when you have two of them, because they're hanging on the plant two at a time, and that they called them leather britches.
Uh-huh. Great. Oh, yeah. Hey, we have Amber from Paonia on the line with a question. Good evening, Amber.
Good evening.
Great.
So I know y'all are talking about corn, but I have a question about broccoli.
Okay.
Oh, I have broccoli. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. So I feel like I've tried both shoulder seasons. Like I've planted it in February, and then I've planted it in July. And I can't seem to find out the perfect timing for getting a good head of broccoli. Or maybe it's a certain type of broccoli that I'm not trying. But or maybe you just don't grow that in the high desert. I don't know.
What variety are you growing?
I've tried a bunch of different kinds. Not one that I really have found that works. But like Blue Wind. What are some of the others? I've tried some like purple sprouted. I kind of just. Have tried a bunch of them, and I feel like maybe it's more my timing, or I don't know. How do you do it?
Well, okay. So, are you starting? Are you using starts, or are you planting
I start
straight?
From seed.
You do. Okay, so do I.
Yeah.
Do you grow
I don't, but I know a lot about broccoli.
So, Lance is out of this one. Okay, so, all right. So here's the story. I try to grow this DeCiccio broccoli because I think it's the most incredible broccoli ever, tasting-wise. It doesn't get a huge head, but you get a lot of little heads after you cut the big ones, the first ones off. This year, I bombed out. I swear to God, you sound like me. I can't get the timing right with this DeCiccio. Sometimes I nail it and sometimes I don't. But in the last 3 years, I nailed it one time. And so this year, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to start it inside at an appropriate time and then take it outside and, you know, give it lots of tender love and care and see what happens.
Yeah. I think that February thing was too early because they say when the days of maturity on there are at 2 weeks because you said they're talking about transplants. So if you're transplanting them out in April, then the beginning of April or late March is when you should seed them.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I'm just talking timing-wise.
Timing. Yeah, but I think that's a big part of it, Amber. I really do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if I was to grow them, I'd grow them only for a fall crop. The heads will mature much better in cool weather.
Oh, okay.
For sure. All my heads.
So that's July, right? You plant them in July?
I would plant the seed directly in the ground.
That's what I did in July. See, yeah. I did that in July, and I bombed out this year.
But this was a weird year.
Yeah, it's a different year. But I'd also, when I was growing broccoli, I was fertilizing every 2 weeks with manure tea.
I think that might be part of it too. I think that's a big part.
They're a heavy feeder.
Heavy feeder. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So go for a July planting so that you can.
Yeah, I mean, do the early one too, but have the fall one too.
Right.
Right.
Because they get that cold
weather. Yeah, it just seems like it gets too warm too fast, and they always seem to bolt.
There you go.
In the spring.
Mm-hmm. So, you could also shade them.
Right, I've tried that one too.
Okay. Yeah, I've tried. I know I'm listening. I tried that one too. That didn't work. You know, I tried putting them in the shady.
You
part
can move
of the
Gunnison.
Does broccoli do well up there? Does it really?
Yeah.
You know, I put them back in the shady part of the garden, and I thought, oh, they're going to be so happy. Yeah, right. You know what happened? They got a lot of aphids on them.
Oh, right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was interesting. Yeah, well, you know, because it was cool and dark and damp, and the aphids just said, woohoo!
Yeah.
You know, so that was that story, so... Well, keep trying. I'm going to keep trying. You keep trying, and we'll compare notes.
Yeah. And persistent.
Okay,
we keep on saying
good.
That.
Yeah, yeah.
Be regroup.
Persistent. Perfect.
Good
awesome.
Question, okay. Amber. Great.
Well, great. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
Amber.
Good night.
So would you start them 2 weeks early to transplant them out in July?
No, I direct seed them.
You direct seed them.
Mm-hmm.
See, I did that.
You can do both.
Yeah, right? There you go. That's what I always say.
Yeah. See what
you
happens.
Know, do both.
Do both.
I mean, you know, when in doubt, do one of each.
The thing with doing the transplants, what's nice is you might not have that space ready to seed.
Right.
With the transplant, you got another 2 weeks of something in the ground that you can take out and prep. So it's probably a little better for especially the small garden. Oh, I'm taking out this old lettuce. Let's throw this in there.
Let's go ahead and...
Right.
If you direct seed, you have to have that space ready.
Right. So you could... That's a really good idea, too, because if you did a real early lettuce, it would be done by then.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Good plan.
Yeah,
well, there's a regroup plan.
Yeah. There's drop back 5 yards and a punt if I ever heard it. Okay, so...
Well, broccoli is tender and sensitive.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that DeCiccio, I'm telling you, I got a couple of heads last night, and I just steamed it lightly, and it turns this beautiful blue-green dark color. It's amazing, and the flavor is amazing. It's absolutely amazing. Yeah. That did it. I'm going to plant the whole garden in DeCiccio.
I think so.
And I'm just going to try everything.
Yeah.
It's a gift from the gods. Absolutely. So I think it's so healthy and good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of, you have some gorgeous spinach that's come on right now.
Uh-huh.
so big and crispy and just beautiful, Lance. I don't. Your garden is abundant.
Yeah, that's the spinach called Winter Bloomsdale. There's Bloomsdale Longstanding.
Oh, yeah, Bloomsdale.
It's Bloomsdale Longstanding, but this is Winter Bloomsdale. So it's actually much better if you plant it for, and it will survive the winter and be ready in March.
I bet it will. And I bet it will. It's awesome.
The way the market has gone for greens is baby greens.
Uh-huh, right.
I won't touch them.
I'm with
what's up with that?
Well, first of all, it's a complete waste of seed, the tremendous amount of seed that you got to use for baby greens.
Okay.
The full-size plant is way more nutrition.
Okay.
And flavor, as you probably have noticed. It's
right.
They're flat, thin, and watery.
Yeah.
Right. It's probably easy to grow and mow down.
Well, everybody wants.
Yeah.
You know?
I do grow, and when I thin my lettuce and spinach in the spring or in the fall,
I eat that stuff.
But the real stuff is when it gets full size. I grow full size heads of lettuce. I do not do baby lettuce.
Okay.
You know, I want full size. And the longer they're out in the sun or the weather, the more nutrition and stronger constitution they have.
Yeah.
So if you notice people eating only out of the greenhouse, they're actually a little weak. Even though they're getting good nutrition, there's something else missing.
Right.
And I think it's just being out in the weather.
Sure. That makes sense. Well, your spinach shows it. It's really beautiful. And that would be a great then winter cover crop. Is it time to just plant that kind of stuff now?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just so people know that spinach was planted the first week of August.
Wow.
Just to let people know that that's what I did. Is plant the first week of August.
Okay. So August, September, 2 months.
Yeah.
60 days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And it will go clear. And I'll cover it when a real hard frost is coming. I will cover it to keep it going. Because it will stop growing.
Sure.
But if you don't let it get frozen, it's fine.
That'd be a good thing for the
cold frame.
The cold frame from Aaron. Yeah. Speaking of which, Aaron's going to be here next week to talk about forest gardening.
Good.
Yeah.
Forest gardening.
Forest gardening.
Wow, now we get to hear about that.
Edible gardens.
Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you.
Some good stuff going
on
there.
A lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I have a forest garden. There's so many trees in my yard. It must be a forest garden.
Absolutely. You look like a forest nymph.
A dirty forest nymph. Now, don't believe a word of it, man. I look like a train wreck in here today.
You do not.
It's great.
Well, you've been working with wood chips. What's the deal with that? What do you do with wood chips this time of year?
Well, I have a part of my goal is to do as little as possible as far as, like mowing and maintenance of the rest of the spaces that mm-hmm. aren't garden.
Sure.
And I hate seeing naked dirt. I hate seeing it. So, I figure this is a real coup. There's about 4 inches of wood chips. Well, the other ones all went away.
Uh-huh.
You know, they dissolved. And I haven't done it in years, so it was time. And now all the filthy grasshoppers that laid their eggs in that naked dirt. Those babies are not going to be able to get through those wood chips.
Yeah.
Go get them, tiger.
Yeah.
So I like hearing that.
Yeah, so that's really fun. So I just hate seeing naked dirt. And mm-hmm. it's super, super easy.
Mm-hmm.
And you just throw them down on the ground. And if you don't let a lot of water get on them,
they'll last for a while.
They last for a good long time. I was putting them down thinking about how long ago I had done this, and I'm thinking it's 4 or 5 years mm-hmm. maybe.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
And I had to do it. Every time it rained, there were more weeds coming through and more dirt showing, you know. I mean, I was needing it bad.
So you didn't put any barrier down. You just put the wood chips down.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I just put the wood chips down, and I put them down thick. And then the key is to just keep the water off.
Okay.
You know, don't water it.
Yeah.
Don't let any water get on it. Don't let your hoses run out there or anything. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it'll rain and you'll get some water. But if it's thick enough, you don't have a problem.
Does it change the soil underneath then as they
decompose? Yeah, it does. Mm-hmm. It's I think that soil back there is probably going to be some of the, you know, one of these days I'll switch all the gardens from where they right. are and put them back there and, you know, do that or something.
Well, it's like a forest.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And all that, all the
leaf
and
litter.
Branches,
yeah,
just,
yeah.
It just sits there.
It just
right.
sits there.
And if you dig 6 inches down, that stuff's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's getting like that. Yeah, it's getting mm-hmm. it's getting into that, you know, what do they call that white
loam.
Stuff? Yeah, it's loamy, but the white stuff that gets on the Fasilia or Safasafisa, Fingningadanga, something. Anyway, it's that stuff that is, you know, a chemical reaction that
right.
the bark is having in the dirt and everything mm-hmm. else. And yeah, all of
a sign that it's healthy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that, you know, you got microbes, you got life happening
yeah.
in there, you know. So, and the worms love it.
Yeah.
You know, they stay nice and cool under there. I don't know if they totally love it because there's not that much to eat, but it definitely gets soft.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
Great.
It's good.
Mm-hmm. And Lance, you're going to do a little whacking and hacking on the raspberries.
Oh.
What's going
oh,
on
yeah.
there?
Yeah. I have
good
the
job,
cane,
Lance.
I have cane borers, which I've mentioned, and normally you just cut the cane down. You can see it. They just all of a sudden... I've gotten good enough that I can tell even when they're just first starting to wilt. And this one patch is the raspberries. I get a early summer crop, and then I get a fall crop. And I'm just going to cut the whole patch down. Because
just
the cane,
go for it.
Yeah, just the other raspberries that I'm eating full-time that I brought in last week or a couple times, those are they get pruned down every year anyways. But this one doesn't. But this is the way you... get the, what I want to say, where they would winter over is in those canes.
Right.
And I'm
going to
take them out. They're going to be shredded and put in the compost.
Take them out. Like
yeah.
it.
I love
and
it.
So
that's
you won't
a
have a
idea.
Spring crop, but you'll have a fall,
I'll
fall
have
crop.
I'll have a fall crop, mm-hmm. yeah.
See,
yeah.
that's perfect. You got to get, you know what? This is a really, this is, okay, this is a moment of brilliance, right? So everybody, really
Listen
pay attention,
up.
Right? Sometimes in your garden, you just have to be plain ruthless.
Yes.
You have to go at it with a vengeance.
You do. You have to be willing to be brave sometimes.
Yeah, and mm-hmm. sacrifice, you know, sacrifice in the name of the good of the whole or something. I don't know. But you do, right? And I'm so proud of you.
Yeah, I do it. I work for all these people, and they have
plants yeah.
in the wrong places.
Right.
And what do, Lance? Take it out.
Take it out.
Uh-huh.
No,
yeah.
too. I saw one person, and they had elm trees all on the side of their foundation.
Oh, my
God. And
they
being from the Northwest and trees and blah,
right,
blah, blah.
Yeah,
I said, take those all out of there.
You better get them out of there.
Yeah. Yeah. And they go, I can't do that. You better get them out.
You better.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, I was in Carbondale the other day, and I was at a friend's house, and I noticed that this elm tree had gotten under the corner of their driveway and lifted a big slab.
Oh, my gosh.
A big
yeah.
slab.
Right.
Like
yeah.
just... Yeah, that's going to cost you about.
My friend in Carbondale, I've been after for 5 years to get rid of that elm tree.
Right.
And she finally did.
Yeah. And sometimes when people plant, they unfortunately plant plants too close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
that's what I do.
That's always a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I screw it up every time. And, you know, I should know better. But I'm going to just rip them out. I'm going to have so much fun there.
Yeah.
I'm going to be ripping. Forget
yeah.
hacking and whacking. This is going to be full on. You know, just, I can't wait. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. And what are you doing with compost right now? You were doing your new compost pile, which is putting all of the garden
waste
into
that
new pile.
Big pile.
Right.
I did put the bales of hay there because I need to get it higher. And I'm just layering it when I haul stuff out. And then I put the rye straw. And I put that in there, and then I put the manure on top of that, and it's already settling. It's already steaming.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. You know,
mm-hmm.
and that's
going
just what
right
I want.
Yes.
And one of the things
at.
I do is I will dig all of those corn stalks, the roots out. I actually dig those out. And, you know, I've got a way to do it. It's not that much dirt, but all that dirt goes in the compost.
Okay.
And so dirt, all the soil has all those microorganisms. and that helps break down everything.
Yeah, like a sourdough starter.
Oh, you're just going to take the root and just yank it out and throw. Oh, good idea.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Probably helps it decompose too,
because
corn is tough.
Corn stalks are really tough.
Yeah.
And so all the corn stalks that are out there now, I'll shred those too. And but those roots I actually dig out.
Mm-hmm.
And
good.
And the sunflower stalks, and I'll dig those all out, and there'll be a bit of dirt on them. And that goes goes in the compost.
Yeah.
Do you have a wood chipper or a shredder, or how do you shred all of this stuff?
I have a couple of shredders.
Uh-huh.
And one I've had, I wish I should look up where that company is. I've had it since 1978.
Oh, really?
Wow.
It's the original blades. And the whole thing, except I've replaced the motor. I'm on the fourth motor, and of course, fan belts.
Oh, right. belt, of course.
But it still works.
I have to get my shredder out. I haven't had it out for years.
Oh,
and then
man.
I have another shredder that's for, that's what I do this corn stalks and stuff in. And it has a side chute for the bigger branches and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I got one of those. That's great. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And plus, you can put leaves and stuff, but that's a beast.
Yeah, sounds fun.
Yep.
I'm surprised you don't have your shredder out, Lulu. That sounds like your kind of machine.
Yeah, it is. But now I have the chickens working the compost, yard. And actually, I just watered the chicken yard to break down the straw a little bit more.
Uh-huh.
And they get real excited when it gets watered because they think there's going to be more worms. They've eaten them all this summer.
Oh,
so
little piggies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So now I'm actually thinking. I'm thinking of taking the whole compost pile apart, and just throwing, because I have a separate bin that's just kitchen scraps and stuff, and they go in there and they work that over too, of course, and all the worms are in there way down at the bottom, and I'm thinking of taking that out. And getting all the rough stuff out, because I know there's a lot of rough stuff down in the bottom, and spreading it all in the chicken yard, and then covering it thick with hay mulch, and letting it rip, and then letting it go, and so the girls really like it. Yeah, I think. Yeah, I need to build up more soil in there quicker. So I think
the girls. Now she's referring to them as the girls.
Yeah, the girls.
There's a little trash talking going on about those chickens earlier.
Yeah, sometimes I just call them hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. But no, they're the girls. They know I really love them.
Yeah, they're good.
They stopped laying eggs though. That's what we were talking about.
Yeah, we were talking about that, and that happens with the length of the day shortening.
Yeah, and whatever they. Whatever their excuse is.
Mm-hmm. Well, Lance recommended and had someone that went out and sang to them all winter long, and they
never stopped.
Right.
Never
so stopped. There you go.
I wanted to just say one thing about compost, one last thing. I have two compost piles I'm still turning.
Okay.
They will eventually get finished, but I like to shred my compost when it's dry, and these will not get dry because it's just – the day lengths aren't long enough to dry them out.
Right.
So I'll actually use these compost on my perennial beds this fall. I'll put it on the raspberries. I'll put it on the flower beds. I'll put it, on those kind of things.
And use it up that way.
I'll use it up that way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So there's actually, for that coarse compost, it's just fine.
And we don't probably need to worry about freezing in the next week or so, but
You never know.
I'm draining my hoses every night.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I have the sprinklers that I pour out.
That reminds me. I got to call somebody to blow my sprinklers out.
Okay. Well, start thinking about it.
It takes a little while to get into the routine at the end of the day.
Yeah.
To turn off the water. Well, you turn the water off, but to actually drain the hoses.
Right.
And I put one hose that's the low end, and it all goes out that way.
Okay.
I got a sprinkler system that I can drain pretty easy.
All right. Well, start thinking about it then. Could happen.
I know.
All right, worms. Well, great. Thanks for the call tonight, Amber. And so much happening. And I just love this time of year. And let's remind everybody, Aaron is here next week for talking about forest gardening.
Yeah, it sounds like fun.
It does sound like fun.
I know, it does sound like fun. Yeah. I want to hear more about that. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's next week at 6:30 for As the Worm Turns, and it is Amber coming up right now for One Woman's Perspective. So thanks for listening to KVNF. Right.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
I don't know who you took a shine to or who you're about to make.
take a sign to. I got a gal that I love so. Low, little low, and low.